The Making of a Modern Man, a podcast dedicated to ambitious men who want to unlock the potential from their mind, body, and life. My name's Jack Taylor, and I'm a men's health, performance, and behaviour change specialist. I believe that every man has the potential for greatness. Most just don't know how to unlock it. And that is the intention of this podcast, to help you step into your power and become the man you've dreamt of being. So if you're now ready to elevate all areas of your life, let's dive in. Today's episode is with John Hamilton. John is the owner of Young and Lazy, a high-performing network for young entrepreneurs. I've been following John's journey for a while now, and it was great to finally get him onto an episode to tap into his creative mind and understand his interesting story. In this episode, John talks through how he went from being a professional gamer to creating a successful and impactful business. We also touch on the importance of your community and how they can influence your chances of success, as well as many other nuggets of wisdom that you'll be able to take inspiration from today. This was a good one between two guys who were just shooting the shit. So if you're ready for it, let's dive in. John, thank you for being here, mate. I'm looking forward to this episode today. I appreciate you taking the time out to hop on it.
I'm absolutely buzzing to be on, mate. It's been booked to my calendar for like 2 weeks, been gassed, woke up this morning, seen it was in the diary. I'm excited to kind of get into the journey and see if I can provide some value to your listeners overall, bro.
Awesome, man. Awesome. I think it makes sense for us to start from the start. So we've obviously had a conversation. We caught up a couple of weeks ago now, and I found your own personal journey to get to where you are today to be really interesting. So feel free to shed as much detail as you can on what's brought you to where you are today.
100%, bro. So my journey, I guess, for all the listeners, it started in the gaming side of things. It started as a competitive Call of Duty player. I was obsessed with it. I would dog school. My attendance was like 40%. People at my mum's door and shit, because I was that obsessed with it, man. I couldn't stop playing. And I guess for me, that kind of became something that, just like anything, the more time you put into something, the better you'll get at it. And I'd done that in a competitive environment where people demanded the most that they possibly could from you. So in that kind of environment for me, man, it was almost like a little talent hotbed for producing, I guess, like the top quality players within COD, because you've got other people that are demanding so much more from you. So started competing when I was 13, went to my first proper event down in Birmingham when I was 14. And then went to like Paris, Vegas, LA, which was class, just to compete and play games, which is crazy. I guess it came a little bit away from it when I was like 18, focused on uni at the time. I was studying accountancy and I was in my second year. And it was during that time frame that I decided that I just wasn't going to go back to uni. I was in my second semester. I remember I walked into one of my lectures of the first lecture of my second semester, and the first thing that came up on screen was the responsibilities you'll take on as an employee, as an accountant. And I just remember looking at my friend Scott at the time. I was like, why the fuck are we here, bro? Like, we don't want to be employees. We don't, like, this is, like, not what we want to do, man. And I remember he just kind of shrugged his shoulders. And from that day onwards, mate, I never went back to a single lecture. And I basically decided that I would start pursuing my own thing. Now, that kind of happened roughly. That lecture was about end of January. COVID happened in March, obviously March, April time. So I sat all my exams online in June and still passed them all anyways, even though I didn't go to a single lecture or tutorial. And at that point, I was like, I should really just be doing my own thing fully. So about a month before those exams, I bought a full streaming setup and I decided to start streaming full time in the gaming side of things. Was fortunate enough, obviously, during COVID that I had the kind of freedom, I guess, to do that. And that gave me the kind of, I guess, like 2 to 3 month kind of safety window of, let's just give it a crack, man. See how it is. See what comes of it. And for any kind of context for any listeners that maybe haven't even seen anything in the kind of streaming side of things, you have three different types of streamers. You have the kind of professionals, those that are really good at the game that you watch for lessons and learnings. You have the comedians that are kind of come in the form of like entertainers. They're super funny, really engaging. And then you have kind of community-based where, you know, they build a community around the streamer's values. I was a mix of the kind of professional and the kind of community side of things. And I guess that was my first taste of building a community, building something that was bigger than just me. People would come into the streams. I would host every Monday, I think, called Mindful Mondays, which is basically just an hour and a half before I would play any games, where we'd just sit and talk about our lives, man. I would bring lessons, I would bring different videos from people that I found as a massive inspiration, and I would just basically funnel it to my viewers. And they loved it, man. So that was my first proper taste of building a community. And yeah, done that for about 2 years. Now, there was one issue with it, which was if I wasn't live, I wasn't making money. And if I wasn't playing in tournaments, then I wasn't making money. And I read The 4-Hour Workweek when I was like 19, one of the first books I ever read. And it was constantly in the back of my mind that I wasn't creating a high leverage opportunity. I was creating something like a job where I'd be sitting in front of a camera all day, 5 to 10 hours a day. There was a time period where I streamed for 250 days in a row. And it was always in the back of my mind that I had to create something that was of a higher leverage. And basically, after I kind of burnt out a little bit after that 250 day in a row kind of span, plenty of tournaments and stuff, my mum's been in business for about coming up to 6 years now. So she'd already been in business for a couple of years, and I was really interested in the kind of business side of things. I was interested in her business. So I decided to start going to a few networking events. Went to a few of my mum's, and they were just shit, man. I was just like, this is like not what I thought it was going to be like. And it was kind of boring to me, man. It just, for anyone who's never really attended a networking event, you turn up, you shake some hands, and you pitch your business, and then you listen to everyone else pitching their business. And that kind of concludes it. And I just believe there was something so much more than that. And I think that came from the fact that I'd built a community that was so like close-knit in the gaming side of things that I was like, a network by definition is like a group of people that are all like on a similar mission, and all you care about is coming together and getting business. Now naturally that kind of put me off business. I was like, if this is like what business really is, I don't really want, I'll just do something else. I'll do trading, or I'll do some other, develop some other high ticket skill. And yeah, I basically just took a little, I guess, break from business. I hadn't even, had a proper business at that time, but I just decided it wasn't something I wanted to go into. And there was a few months later, while I was still streaming, that I had a kind of penny drop moment where I was like, well, if I'm feeling this way, then there's a high chance that other people are probably feeling this way. And I basically decided, I think it was December 2020, to start my own network, essentially. And I started by hosting networking events. I brought on professional footballers and speakers and stuff like that to speak at these events, give a different kind of vibe for these stereotypical networking events. But naturally, I kind of fell into the same bracket of just hosting stereotypical networking events and doing it for young people. And it worked for a little bit, but got pretty stale. Lifetime value of my clients was pretty low. The prices that I was charging was very low. And I was someone that wanted, really deep connections with my clients, really deep, like, I wanted it almost, it was a business network, but I wanted it to be like real friendships that were developed on the foundation of everyone having the same values. And that for me, man, was something that I guess I kind of compromised in the beginning with the thought process of not knowing any other way to kind of scale the network. And naturally it's evolved into what it is now, which is essentially Young and Lazy is what the name of the network is. It's for young entrepreneurs, high performing young entrepreneurs that want to scale their business either past five figures or they've already scaled past it. You want to be around other people that are doing the same. And yeah, I create an environment where people come together not to pitch their business, but to improve their business, to help others improve their business, like creating real friendships, a genuine community where, yeah, everyone's sole intentions are to help each other grow, man, which is, it's an amazing environment to be in, bro. So yeah, it was a whirlwind tour, man. Whirlwind tour from gaming at 14 to run a business now at 24 over the course of a decade, bro. Fucking Jesus. But yeah, that's pretty much it from A to Z, bro.
It's amazing. And before we dive into, I guess, more of what's happening now in Young and Lazy and looking at the community side of things, I want to touch on the time that you spent gaming. Now, what do you think you were able to, from a transferable skill point of view, take from the gaming community and the gaming life that you were living at that point in time and take it into business? What transferable things were there that you've started to see if you look back now?
So many, bro. There's so many. I actually read a book called the Talent Code by Daniel Coyle, and it speaks a lot about, like, I guess, like transferable skills is somewhat from other places. And when I read that book, I realized that I wasn't like going crazy with the thought process that there was a lot of transferable skills. One of which, I guess, that came into running a network of some sort or being the person that runs a network, there was an element of leadership especially in the competitive environment where you were leading a team forward. You were the for me, I was a shot caller on a good couple of teams, and I guess an aspect of leadership, you're managing a small team, teams of four or teams of five, and you know when shit hits the fan, they look at you to make the calls. And when you're going to these big tournaments, some of which you know there's 200K in the line, there's your whole career within gaming is on the line. You know, it becomes a pretty high pressure environment. So when it came into business, I think that high pressure environment increased my stress tolerance quite heavily, that I don't really see anything as stressful really within business. I actually see business as like a really dimmed down version of competitive, like the kind of competitive gaming side of things, because competitive gaming, man, there's you've got 0.1 seconds, like milliseconds most of the time to make a decision. In business, man, you can delay a decision as long as you fucking want. Like, and if you're going to, like, maybe the only environment that creates that kind of same level of, I guess, like, necessity to, like, smash out the park is like a sales call. But if you have the abundance mindset that you're going to develop, you're going to generate as many sales calls as you humanly want, and you understand that repetition is one of the keys of becoming better at sales, you understand that you're going to shit the bed at some of them, and that's okay, and you're going to progress. So, yeah, there's nothing really I've seen within the business side of things that I've actually been able to replicate the same level of like stress, or like, and I've kind of missed that a little bit, I guess, because in the gaming side of things, it was constant, man. Like you'd prep for a tournament, that tournament would be a day long max, and it would be such high octane. I'll never forget there was a tournament I played. It was an invite only tournament on Call of Duty Warzone, and we were sitting first. So, try to think of the simplest way to explain this. Five different games, and then you would collect points across every single game. And by the time we'd hit the fourth game, we were still sitting first. And if we won the last two games, we would have won 25 grand. Not even won the last game. If we just placed relatively well, we would have came top. And we fumbled it, bro. Fumbled it quite heavily, and we ended up coming third. So we won 6 grand. Like between the four of us. And I remember that whole day I didn't eat anything, because if I ate, I feel like it clouded my like overall like just reaction time, everything from top to bottom. I played all day warming up, and then about 6-ish till about like 11:30, 12 o'clock at night was when the tournament finished. And I remember I went outside, man, and I just sat there on like my back doorstep. And I just remember thinking, man, like I feel awful right now. Like I feel awful that we choked this tournament. We had a chance to really solidify something pretty monumental. But there was like so much gratitude like coursing through my veins that I like that was the life that I was living, and that I was able to play games for a living. And at that time we'd won 6 grand. But I was also so grateful for like how alive I felt in that moment, afterwards and during it. And yes, I was upset when we first finished, but when I was sitting on that back doorstep, I was just like, man, like I get to fully immerse in something to the point that I feel this alive, this much emotion, to the point that I could genuinely cry because of how much we squandered this potential opportunity. And it just led to pure gratitude, mate. I know we're not getting a tangent there, bro, but to answer your question, good few things, bro. Repetition, like Call of Duty was something I played for 20,000 plus hours every single day, and if I made a mistake, it was questioned. And when it was questioned, you know, what was the solution? And it was something that, you know, you didn't come to, it's like, don't come to me with problems, come to me with solutions. That was pretty much what it was like in the gaming side of things. There was no opportunity to kind of whine. So I guess I learned the art of repetition. I definitely developed a high level of stress tolerance that in business it seems pretty easy to just go on a day-to-day basis. And yeah, leadership skills and team skills, man. Like, if we were to digress a little bit into the leadership side of things, if you think that'd be a good area to kind of touch on, I think I developed a leadership method that wasn't actually aligned with my values. I went down the route of the kind of Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan. You're going to do as much as I do, and if you don't do as much as I do, I'm going to call you out on it, and I'm going to go to town on you. And I'd done that for a good couple of teams, man. And I would have been a cunt to play with, bro. Like, I would have been. Yes, I only wanted the best for us and the team, man, but I believe there was a better way to go about it. But I didn't know how. I didn't know how to go a better way about it. And it wasn't until I matured a good bit that I realized that the way of leadership for me was something that was much more aligned with my values, which I read a book recently, highly recommend it, Unreasonable Hospitality. Incredible book, teaches you how to go above and beyond for your clients. And within that book, it talks about the like two simple rules to giving feedback and working with your employees. And it is praise in public, criticize in private. And both of those things, man, I used to do opposite, bro. I would praise in private, after the sessions, after the practice, and I would criticize in public, and I would do it quite heavily. And that little switch up of praising and criticizing, there's also something as well that he touches on, which is, praising with emotion and criticizing without emotion. I would do the opposite as again when I had that different leadership method. And I think changing both of those things up allowed for people to respect me much more as a leader, and for people to actually want to work with me. So the fact that I've learned that in the gaming side of things, if I hadn't learned it in the gaming side of things, I probably would have came into business with that like bulldozer like mentality that's like Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant level. And I wouldn't have been able to build a network to the level that I have just now. I wouldn't even have a business partner. I know that for sure. I don't imagine many people would have wanted to work with me. So I think the gaming side of things was really a proper talent hotbed for me, man. It really incubated me and it allowed for me to make a lot of mistakes in a place that, looking back at it now, that's not really that much that important. So yeah, bro. Can I digress into a few areas there, man?
And there's tons of value there. And I think for the listeners as well, if they find themselves in a position currently where they're aware that they're in a role in their career, for example, that they're not aligned with or they no longer want to be a part of. And often that can leave you feeling quite overwhelmed and lost and stuck as to what your next steps could be. I think going through a thought exercise similar to what you have, whether that was conscious or not, which is, what skills do I possess currently? And they can be hard or soft skills. And looking at, okay, collating a list of all of the skills of which you've obtained through everything you've done up until this point. So let's say you've played football when you were younger and you were a captain. It's like, cool, I am able to transfer the skills of leadership from captaining my Sunday league football team. And I can get that down on paper. That's a skill that I have. I work in IT currently, so I'm able to problem solve and I'm solution orientated. Cool. That's another skill that you can take. And I think that's where you can then start to cross-reference what you have currently, and then also leaving space for what it is that you can still learn. So then give you a bit of an understanding as to potentially what doors can open for you in the future. Seeing a lot of people become stuck when they're aware that they don't want what they've currently got because they can't see what the next step is. And they try to compare it too closely to what they already have. And if they're aware that they don't want what they currently have, then naturally there's a conundrum there, isn't there? So I think that's probably a great place to start is trying to ascertain what are the skills that I have, both hard and soft, like we say, and then looking elsewhere, getting creative and looking at where could I use those skills. But
100%.
something I really want to touch on with your the discussion there around leadership, completely understand what you're saying around the praise in public and criticize privately and where the emotion should be delivered. And I can say wholeheartedly that I have also done the opposite for many years prior. Something that I want to point out, and I know we had a conversation around this recently as well. Slightly digressing, but do you think since understanding that level of leadership and how to communicate, let's call it, that that has changed the way you communicate both in business and out of business and potentially with things like your partner in romantic relationships?
Yeah, 100%, man. And if I was to be like proper open and vulnerable about it, man, I think that there's elements of I've spoken about it with a good few of my clients and the closest people to me. If I was to say like the two closest individuals probably within my life, my mum and my partner Bex, they probably see like a different not a different version of me, but maybe that older version of me every now and again. Whereas I think within business and with clients and with like on camera and everything possible, like they it's almost like I've learned as much as possible what it takes to be a good leader and what individuals want to see in myself, and also what I want to give and the person that I want to be. Whereas I think with the people closest to me, they sometimes will see a kind of different side, that kind of older side where I maybe I'm a little bit more like brutal with feedback, or I'll maybe, get a bit like agitated around certain areas. And I think if I was to reflect back on like the person that I was in the game side of things, I was that way all the time. And now, especially in business, never am I that way. And if I am that way, it's usually people closest to me. If I'm looking at like Bex, my mum, Andy, who I run the business with as well, man. We had a good we've been working together now for just over a year, and after the kind of first 6 months, it was a proper like honeymoon like period. Obviously, when you start working with somebody, it's amazing. And I went through like a little bit of a month time frame where things just like felt a bit shitty. Things were kind of getting on top of me, and I guess I kind of started to fall into that rut of being that type of person again. And one of the things that I guess in the gaming side of things that really helped me was like the kind of extreme ownership side of things, where you made a mistake, best thing you can do is take ownership of it and then work with your team to try and solve it. And I would maybe be a bit more hot-headed with something maybe frustrate me a bit more, and I wouldn't be able to hold my tongue, and I would just say something, and it wouldn't even be something that I truly meant. And as soon as the call would be finished, as soon as things would be over, straight away be straight on the phone, and I do apologize, mate. I don't know why, I felt that way. And I think to be completely transparent on it, during that time frame where things maybe feel like you're getting on top, a bit on top of you, I know there'll be a few listeners that will definitely relate to it, man. You'll feel like things are getting a bit on top of you, and you feel like you're just not being yourself. And when you're not being yourself, you're worried about the people closest to you thinking that you're someone different than what you actually are. When in reality, like, everyone goes through those little shit spells, man. And the truth of it, when I look at like my childhood and growing up, man, like my dad was the biggest hothead you could possibly imagine. Like, you're talking like if you spilt like a like some water, and like say you like knocked over a cup, it was like sent to your room, like absolutely raging, not happy about it. And yeah, probably seeing that on a day-to-day basis, I probably picked up on it quite heavily. And when I came into the gaming side of things, that was probably what came out in me, where I would demand more from people, but not in a way that was in any way constructive or helpful. And yeah, through that consistent repetition from the age of 14 through to like 21, 22, it was only probably towards the later stages of my just turning about 19, 20 that I started to realize it had to change, bro. Like quite drastically. And since it's changed, my relationships have thrived. Like, I have thrived much more at peace as well with myself. And I've also kind of put things in place that help me become the individual that I want to become. And one of those things actually is therapy. I think we kind of spoke about it the first time we did speak. And therapy for me, man, has been something that I've been able to. There's something about being able to speak to someone that knows nothing about you, has no emotional connection to you, does not actually care about you, like, because they don't have any emotional rapport with you. How can they properly care about you? There's no bias, and I'm able to just go there. I do it once a month, and the process that I have for it, which is very interesting. I don't go there to go through any like I don't not went through anything like traumatic or anything like that. I just go there to just brain dump all the shit that I experience on a month-to-month basis. So I have like Apple Notes on my phone. I have a therapy folder, and from a month-to-month basis of each of my sessions, I just document all the things that come up that I'm not happy with myself. So if I, a little bit hot-headed on something, I'll note it down. What happened? Why I believed it happened? How I felt afterwards? And then I'll obviously take that to the next therapy session. If it's something like, I remember one time I was watching Stranger Things, and there was an episode in Stranger Things where the main character is like getting bullied by other people, other young kids. And I remember when I was watching it, man, my hands started kind of sweating, my palms started sweating. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, why are my palms sweating? Like watching a like Netflix series. So I noted that down, you know, noted down like why I believed it happened, what things potentially happened in school. And yeah, bro, I think using therapy has really helped me to understand myself more and to talk about things that I wouldn't naturally want to talk about with my partner or with my mum or with the people closest to me, because I know that they care about me too much and I know that there would be a little bit of bias there. It's just been great, I think, to have a soundboard to just talk to someone about those sort of things, things that you maybe feel like is making you feel a little bit insane, and you're able to just get them out on the table, bro, for sure.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of people struggle with the idea of going to something like therapy or receiving something like coaching, unless they are, and I use these words intentionally, feeling broken or as if they have gone through a traumatic experience. I think if we can try and shake off that notion that you have to be at the depths of despair in order to partake in something like that, because as you've rightly said, and myself included, have been through many forms of therapy and coaching for a myriad of different reasons and at many different points in my own journey. There are tremendous benefits to talking to somebody who is able to objectively look at your situation.
100%.
As the saying goes, it's hard to read the label when you're inside the bottle. And the reality is that those who are closest to you and love you dearly are also inside the bottle with you. So for a lot of the things that I would imagine yourself, and I know that like I would note down if I'm in that similar situation, will include those who I care for and who are in my close proximity, which means that it provides a challenge. Doesn't make it impossible, it provides the challenge that with where you're at that point in time and how you're wanting to address the situation doesn't necessarily serve as a helpful purpose. The challenge becomes that if you try to raise the concern or the thought-provoking insight that you have, because they are emotionally invested and emotionally involved and maybe physically involved, depending on what it is, it can then become personal, which becomes counterproductive because it's a subjective experience then. So you're trying to objectively look at, for example, why when watching Stranger Things, there was that physiological reaction subconsciously to what you were seeing. And sometimes when you're trying to engage in that conversation, there could be the people who you're engaging with, like involved. And sometimes if they're not well adjusted to those type of conversations, they can feel like this is a personal attack. And that's when it becomes unproductive. And I think that's when often people feel attacked and then reserve themselves, stop opening up those forms of communication, which are really healthy, those forms of dialogue. So, yeah, I completely agree. I think it's really important. I would also, to be honest, I'm biased, but I would also say that it's a necessity to have somebody, if you're looking for high performance and you're looking to aggressively grow mentally, physically, and spiritually, to have somebody outside of your immediate sphere who is able to objectively look at the challenges that you are going through right now, celebrate the wins with you, and help you navigate what is currently going on in your mind. Because our minds are incredibly complex. We are emotional beings. It's really difficult to unpick how you're feeling yourself. So the way that I often view coaching and therapy the same is that it's somebody who's helping you to look at the things that you can't see. So like your shadow. So I hold the mirror up for you, John, and I'll say, what's that thing behind you? And because it's behind you, you can't see it. But by me holding up the mirror, that gives you the opportunity to then see for yourself, which then allows you to start the process of doing whatever is necessary to come at peace with that or make the changes that are necessary.
100%, man. I think at any moment that I've had, at any moment of growth, to be fair, I think it's directly correlated to having someone. I had a coach for just shy of like 18 months within the business side of things. Probably the most uncomfortable 18 months I probably had within business, because it was just constant constant challenge, like a constant challenge on pretty much every element of your, like every limiting belief gets highlighted. And there's a sink or swim like moment in every single one of those like highlights, where it's like, cool, am I going to let this limiting belief be part of my life for forever, or am I going to work through it? And usually the latter decision of working through it is the one that feels the most difficult. And I think that in relation to the gaming side of things, probably what I'm discovering from even just talking through this is that when we, in the gaming side of things, we're able to make split-second decisions, and very quickly we're able to get feedback on whether or not something is right or wrong. In business, you don't really get feedback on something's right or wrong straight away. It usually takes a good bit of time, man. And if we're looking at people like Hormozy, we spoke a good bit about Hormozy in our call. Hormozy is someone that has a really wide time horizon. And I think, yeah, it's an interesting one, man, because you don't actually know how it's going to affect your future self when you're in the midst of it, when you've got a coach, when you're going to therapy. And then, 6 months passes, 12 months passes, and you realize, for me, I realized I was much more chilled, much more at peace, much more happier, able to celebrate things more, able to be more in the present, that I probably wouldn't have been able to experience without it, man.
For sure. And I think equally it comes to even the physical side of things. If we look at what it takes to create a physical transformation, like you are not going to get immediate feedback. You're not going to, for example, diet for a week and then you've created the result that you want. There is always a lagging effect, I believe, for the majority of things that people are trying to obtain. And this is why I wholeheartedly believe that you have to focus on your inputs, focus solely on your input, focus on showing up. And periodically, then look at what is the lagging effect of this input. And
I
then you
completely agree, mate.
make informed decisions off of that and try to remove emotion from it. Because the more emotion you have invested in a journey, the more volatile it is going to be.
Yeah, you notice that a lot with like money, for example. Like if in a moment where maybe someone feels more scarce, or like when we let's see individuals that are at a high level of wealth, there's a level of like, word that came to my mind was like nonchalant, like just chilled, relaxed all the time. They're operating at such a high output, and there's no like shit kind of in the back of their mind that's really like toying with them. Now, I understand that'll be like a perception of like what we see on the outside, but I think with something like money, for example, it can really kind of hold people in place. And when you're highlighting the kind of emotion side of things, it's something that there's so much emotion tied to money. Where if I'm even going with a when I bought my first streaming setup when I was 19, I used all my savings for that setup, bro. I remember saying to my mum about it. I was like, I've got grand and a half. Setup's going to cost like just shy of a grand. I would need to make money in the first month. The chance of me making money in the first month is pretty fucking slim. And she just supported me, man. Told me to do it. Told me to have like no regrets and to move forward and just give it a try, because I'd regret it otherwise. And if I think about the fact that maybe I had plenty of money at that time frame, I might have been even too comfortable to even just give it, like to even just not necessarily to go for it. I think I would have went for it, but would I have went for it so hard? Would I have went 250 days alone of streaming? Would I went of high volume? Probably not, because it wouldn't have been a real necessity to do that, as such to succeed. So yeah, I'll take a good few areas there, mate, for sure.
Now let's touch on Young and Lazy. So give me an understanding as to where the inspiration came for that and how you have taken the lessons that you have learned from the gaming side of things and all of your experiences up until that point with regards to community and how you've tried to inject that into Young and Lazy.
Yeah, there's good few things to unpack there, mate. So in terms of my inspiration definitely came just from the gaming side of things anyways. Also building a community on the streaming setup, but also I guess for me, like I was part of a network at the time and I didn't even know it in the gaming side of things, where all the best players in the world in Europe all knew each other, all played with each other, all played in tournaments together. And if you wanted to win a tournament, you went out and you found your three players and you went after it, you prepped for it. And I think at the time I didn't realize that that's what it was, a network of high performing college players. some of the best in the world, the best in the world. And I think that's kind of what created, I guess, the thought process of, cool, if I wanted to go to a tournament, I wasn't going to go into a random match in public or walk down Glasgow and find the first player that could play COD and then go to a tournament with him. Like, I had like almost like a little like incubator of all these amazing players that I was able to tap into at any moment. And they were also players that were just as obsessed as me, man. And they played all the time. They watched videos all the time. They practiced all the time. And they also like would even record their games and then send it to their closest friends. The closest friends would critique them. Like, there's full immersion, man. And when I came into business, I was back at the bottom of the barrel. And what that meant was that I was hanging around with people that were bottom of the barrel. And I don't say that to be rude or anything like that, but it was people that didn't see a vision out with what they were currently doing. And they were just simply going through day to day within business to pay the bills. And for me, man, I was like, this is something so much more than that, man. Like, I want something so much more than that. And I quickly kind of started to realise that there was people that I was surrounded with at the time, my friend Scott that I went to uni with, who had kind of bigger goals and aspirations, bigger than I'd ever kind of experienced or thought about. And that rubbed off on me quite heavily. And I started to demand more for myself. And then that little incubator of all these high-performing COD players, I realised what it was like to be around these obsessed individuals and how that could also rub off on me. Where if I wasn't playing all the time, man, I felt like I was missing out, bro. I felt like I was like falling down this invisible ladder of like trying to be at the top. And yeah, I guess when I came into business, I was bottom of the barrel, but I didn't have any reason to be top of the barrel. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't have anything by me. I didn't have any proof of concept within business. So I had to take all those transferable skills, like you kind of touched on, where the things that I'd learned, I guess, through being around these high performing individuals, there was a lot of similarities that I was able to probably use the relationships I built with them to work out how to build relationships with other high authority individuals within business. That's why I started the podcast, because I was like, if there's a way that I can conversate with these individuals, could create a good opportunity of just a great relationship with someone that is maybe high status, high authority. And very naturally, man, like in the gaming side of things, I met a good few footballers that I made amazing, like generated amazing relationships with. And yeah, in business, it was like, actually, if I run it back to the footballers, I can never like put my finger on at any point where those relationships started with those individuals. They just happened, mate. I wish I could like actually pick something from it, but like, this is exactly what happened. I've tried to many times. I've kind of wrote like different steps, like accessing high authority individuals. I think it really just does come down to ensuring that those individuals align with your values, that the values that you possess are in the nature of being willing to do anything that you can for them, not with expecting anything in return, but actually without expecting anything in return. When I look at some of the relationships I've built with high status individuals, I have helped, introduced, went above and beyond for these people genuinely in my stomach without wanting anything in return. And the paradox of that is that you get plenty in return. And yeah, I guess I carried that into business. And naturally, I started to attract more and more people. And I remember I had an awesome call with a guy, Clayton, just last week, actually. And he said, John, he's a leadership coach. And he was like, John, majority of leaders have what you possess. And I was like, well, what is that? And he was like, you're a magnet. Like, people want to be around you. They feel energized to be around you. They want to, if they could spend every moment with you, like, they fucking would. And I guess I carried that into business without even realizing it. And bro, that's coming from someone that's the most like, I was so introverted, man. I was so like suppressed is the word that comes to my mind. I was so dimmed down. I was trying to like maybe be someone that I wasn't at times because I believed that that's who I had to be in order to succeed. And see, when I stripped all that away, man, and just was just being me with the purest of intentions and just willing to go above and beyond for people, and to carry like energy into conversations that was electric, I think that just naturally allowed for me to become a magnet without even realizing it. And if you want to start a network from scratch, you have to be that magnet, man. Are people coming to you regularly for things? Are they wanting to conversate with you? Is your diary getting booked out rapid? Is there is your fucking messages on WhatsApp got like 20 conversations that you've not gotten back to? And it doesn't always start that way, but it very much for me, it started with just three members. I had Andy, who's now my business partner that I run the business with. I had Blair and I had Isabel. They were my three, they were like my three musketeers. They were my trio that purely aligned with my values, aligned with the mission, aligned what I wanted to create. And they didn't care that there wasn't fucking 50 people on a call, bro. They just cared that those three were together. And I think that for me gave me the time I needed to understand how I could be the best service to be of best service to them, what I could, how I could create something for them that was purely going to help them move forward. And it just started with those three individuals, and we're now, there's 40 members in the group chat, 20 to 25 regular attendees on weekly sessions, and that's been all in the course of like a year and a half, that we properly nailed down this business model that is now Young and Lazy. It's evolved into that, bro. Did I answer your question?
I think that's also interesting, though, and I think a lot of listeners will resonate with this, is what you mentioned there. Previously, you felt very introverted, very suppressed. And I think a lot of people will feel that, where they feel like they're misaligned to the person that they currently are, or that they're maybe having to wear a mask if they're surrounded by the wrong group of people. And I think this again speaks volumes to how important it is to be in the right community, whether that be within the workplace, whether that be in your social life, whether that be at home. One thing that always stuck with me was that saying that you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. So instantly, what we should do is assess who those five people are and hold ourselves up to that standard and say, is that a standard that I am happy with? Would I be happy to be the average of these five people? And it's not that we have to shame those five people or completely cut them off and be disrespectful. But I think it's having that awareness that if you are becoming aware that internally you feel misaligned, you don't feel like you're being your true self, you feel like you are introverted, I don't think that that is necessarily going to be the way forever. You often hear that people who were introverted have all of a sudden become extroverted. And what's happened is they've either changed environment or they've changed whom it is that they spend their time with. And I think that's a great telltale sign that for you were in the wrong environment, potentially with the wrong people. And I think a lot of people will resonate with that. And it's giving people understanding that if you're not happy with that feeling that you've got at present, that doesn't have to be that way. Everything in life is malleable. Everything about us is malleable, and you can change that.
100%, man. I couldn't agree more. And you've actually kind of highlighted something that I hadn't really thought about that often. The kind of introvert to extrovert thing. I remember I had a conversation with someone quite early doors where they said it was going to be very hard to change that. And for me, like I was someone that always believed that like extreme ownership, everything can be changed. Like everything can be evolved. Everything can get better. And I guess that level of, like positive optimism, like this, like it's almost like delusional optimism at times, but it was just like I could believe that I could change anything about myself. I hadn't actually traced it back to the people, but I think you're absolutely right, mate. I think that when I think about the shy, introverted John that was growing up through school, I was worried about what other people thought of me that was in the group that I was in. And that worry, like it isn't something that just magically spawns in, man. It's through past experience. It's through, for me, it was like being shamed, having the piss taken out of me. Like, see the amount of times I had the piss taken out of me, bro, for COD. And then, as soon as I went to that first event in Paris, mate, and then as soon as other people started to bash COD, it was like I was treated like a god, like in the gaming, I guess, like sphere. And I think that probably gave me probably a bit more confidence, like in like that environment to get that kind of positive feedback as such. Whether it was ill-intended prior or not. But I think Kobe Bryant spoke about that. I watched one of his videos again last night. Fucking love Kobe, man. Like, see, like, happened obviously, I think after he's passed, that natural level of remorse, you end up looking into him, man. But there was a video that he'd done in an interview, and he spoke about, like, how obsessed he was with just basketball in general. And one of the things he speaks about is Patrick Bet David asks him, are you the relationships that you had, the people that you were around when you became obsessed with basketball, you know, what happened to those relationships? And he was like, those relationships suffered like heavily. And he was like, they did suffer. Like, I lost out in relationships, friendships. My partner didn't get to see me as often. My family didn't get to see me as often. But the good thing about everyone that I was surrounded with was that they all loved me for who I was. And I think that what you've highlighted to me there was that those individuals didn't love me for who I was. And they actually loved me for someone that was a small little slither of who I actually was, where I was just this shy, introverted individual.
Often what you can provide.
Yes. Yep. 100%. And I think probably as I evolved and I generated on a PC. I created, I guess, relationships that were much deeper connections, like much more meaningful relationships. If I really trace it back, I think I wrote a tweet about this, to be fair. Like, if I really trace it back, at the points in my life where I genuinely felt the lowest, I think every single time it corresponded to my relationships being in the fucking bin, mate. And I think that, like, bin that they were in, I just mean, like, not being around the right people, or in my eyes, the right people that I did want to spend time with, it maybe wasn't as reciprocated. And then as a result of that, it definitely, like, had a negative spin on it in my life. And I think probably looking at my life now that I've created through the network, like, the people that I'm surrounded with, man, just fill me with so much gratitude. I feel genuinely blessed on a day-to-day basis to look at my calendar, see the calls I've got booked in, see the sessions, see the weekend plans. Bro, see introverted John, mate, he used to need the full weekend to recharge, mate. In my diary now for the next 6 weeks, of the six weekends ahead, I've got something on every single day, mate, that I cannot fucking wait for. And I think it's shit like that, bro, that, yeah, the difference is crazy, man. The difference is crazy.
Said something a moment ago as well that really shone bright, which is that when you were gaming, prior to doing the events, people were taking the piss, which, yeah, I can see happening for a lot of people, is that lad culture just ripped the absolute shit out of you for doing something different, for standing out. And in that environment, for lack of a better word, you didn't feel valued for who you were and for, yeah, the things that you actually enjoyed. And that's why I say that it's often what you can provide at that point. That's what your value is based off of. What does John bring to the table? As opposed to valuing John.
Hmm.
What then happened is you started doing the events, and then people valued John.
Hmm.
There is, of course, going to be some relationships that are transactional there, where John's a great player, I want John on my team because he's a great player. Yeah. But I would imagine then that you started to create relationships with like-minded individuals that did value you as a person. And you used the word confidence. And I think, in my experience at least, yes, you gain confidence through situations like that. But I think what you actually gain is you gain the confidence to be yourself.
Yep.
It's not that you're gaining confidence to turn into something different. It's that by being in this environment that you now feel aligned to, you've been given almost permission to be your authentic self.
Yep. I completely agree, mate. And I think when you're like suppressing that like authentic self, I had David McIntosh on my podcast and he said something similar, like when you have this kind of facade, or it's like your ego, or it's someone that you're not, when that facade gets feedback, like you don't even feel it, man. Because it's not even you anyways. Like it's this thing that you're putting up that is a mask of who you actually are. And I think that when you decide to start being your true self and you get that positive feedback, it feels different, bro. Like, it feels really different. And I think gaming was such a huge part of my life that when I started to, I guess, like, gain relationships through it, it was like, I seen it as people that were, like, really my tribe, almost. Like, whether it was or not, it was directly related to something that I truly valued. And people were able to see that, I guess. And from their relationships, were obviously able to be built. Yeah, for sure, bro. You've highlighted something important there, man.
I'm keen for myself, but also for my audience. What would you say some of the biggest challenges that you've faced in your own personal journey have been, and the lessons that you've more than likely obtained as a result?
We've kind of shone a light on one of them already. I think that kind of in our battle of like wanting to change something that was so deeply rooted, I guess, that I'd developed for always through my dad. Which we've highlighted already, I guess, what I've learned from that. Probably a lack of purpose, man. Like, I think so many men, especially young guys, man, will feel that on a day-to-day basis potentially right now, man. When I was going to uni, I was working as a waiter. I used to go in on the bus to Glasgow to my waiting shift. Remember, I calculated like I'd have to get an hour, so a 30-minute bus in, like 15-minute walks. So I'd always have to leave like an hour and a half early, then work a 10-hour shift and an hour and a half back. Walk like 20 to like 25,000 steps, and the work environment was horrible as well, man. Like the people that I was spending time with, bro. Like there was maybe a couple that were sweet, man, but it was funky environment, man. And during that time frame, I guess what kept me somewhat sane was that on my breaks and on my bus journeys in, I would read one of the first books I read was Secrets of the Millionaire Mind by T. Harv Eker, and also read Awaken the Giant Within by Tony Robbins. And I'd just read both of those books on my breaks. Now, without those books, prior to that time, prior to even like uni and waiting and stuff, there was a real, I guess, like piece of like turmoil within my life when I didn't know what the fuck I was gonna do, bro. Didn't know what direction I wanted to move in. Nothing seemed like tangible, and the only thing I had was the gaming side of things. That was literally it that I had. It was almost like the one thing that was I could see maybe turn into something real. Now, to fully answer your question, the biggest challenge I think was probably gaining that purpose. Because if I feel like if I really reflect on the person that I was then, I was a slither of the person that I am now. And if I think about the life that I live now, like that individual would be like so fucking like buzzing that this is what my life looks like on a day-to-day basis. Even I was like sitting on this podcast just now, bro, just shooting the shit, sharing journeys, like deep diving into amazing things and areas. I do this for a living, mate. Like, it's fucking bonkers. It's crazy. So it's biggest challenge for sure would have been acquiring that purpose, to acquire something that I guess then resulted in belief. Belief in myself, belief that I could go and do whatever I set my mind to. And developing that belief, I think, came through definite relationships, but also building that undeniable bank of proof that, like Hormozy says, I am who I say I am. And I think that was probably the biggest thing to fully overcome that probably led to like me living the life that I do now. Try to think of other things, bro, that are maybe a bit more tangible, some like other kind of challenges. Definitely money mindset, man. Like my money mindset was really scarce. For anyone that's never read Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, there's a part in that book where it speaks about you develop your money mindset through the programming of your parents. And my dad, serial, like big saver, tight as fuck, mate. Tightest guy you'll ever meet. My mum, like big spender, man. Like I was like her first kid, and she would spoil me rotten, man, like in any way, shape, or form, because I was her first kid and she did not care. And I was truly blessed to have my mum and still do. And I think that what I'd developed was I would save for long periods of time. Yeah, I'd spend it all, bro. I would spend it all. And anytime I got a certain whack of cash, it's like, what can I spend this shit on? And shifting that shit came through repetition of accountancy, like seeing like actual numbers of like businesses that would fail off the back of not managing their expenses. But also, like anytime I'd get any cash into the business, bro, I'd just spend it, mate. There was no safety net, man. No safety net at all. And I think I had to overcome that ASAP. And I think majority of people, man, they'll be acting so unconsciously with the money that they have, with the business that they're running. Even with like the salaries that they're either paying themselves or getting paid by their work, just splashing it, man. all the time, and it can result in a real level of scarcity, for sure. I'd say that was probably one of the biggest challenges to overcome as well, bro.
And that's something I definitely had to work on. I think most who go into business, whether that be for the first time or going from employment to business, most people encounter at some point in their journey some form of money mindset challenge that they come across. And I know for me that there was a scarcity issue that just got in the way of a lot of decisions that I needed to make. But as I always say, self-mastery begins with self-awareness. And the reality is that we have to continuously hold that mirror up, ask better questions of ourselves, reflect on what the challenges are that we have facing us currently, what are the areas that are going really well. And I know that you spend a good chunk of your Sunday reflecting on the week that's just passed and setting strong intentions for the week ahead. So give me an insight into what does John do on a week-to-week basis to push himself and his business to new heights?
Great question, mate. When I reflect on the business model that I built, it was something that I wanted to be as time leading as possible. Because of the gaming side of things, because of reading 4-hour workweek, I was like, how can I create something where I have like a few hours of delivery time, but in that few hours of delivery time, I have maximum like leverage in output, and that's what resulted in a standard week for me. We have our focus groups every Tuesday morning. They're 1 hour and 50 minutes long, 50 minutes give or take on each side. And then we have our other higher level accountability group, which is another focus group, but it's in a much closer knit environment, small group of five. And that's 1 hour and a half on a Thursday. Now, that's the total delivery time, bro, but 3 hours a week. Every other hour is spent on my brand, content, podcast. That's definitely one massive chunk on it. The other chunk is spent on strategy and working on the business and how to grow it. And I think how I've been able to take, even if I look at the lifetime value aspect, I've done some of the math on it. We've increased our lifetime value by over 960% in the last year and a half. Retention's at an all-time high. The average network, mate, majority of networks is like 150 to £250 a year. We are £200 a month minimum, and that's at like our smallest package. And that's also for young entrepreneurs, where people tag young entrepreneurs as being skint and, not having the experience. And that has came through us having so much time to work on the business and improve it. And that's the shit that gets me ticking, man. Like last night, even like I said, when I hopped on last night, I sat and mapped out our full strategy for improving client acquisition, improving retention, and just identifying the overall areas of the business that we really had to work on. I sat for about 3.5 to 4 hours last night, bro, until about 10:45, just hammering that out, man, sitting with some music on. And I think that Hormozy definitely sees it as play. I've started to see it more and more every day as play, and that if I continue to put the time in, I am going to be creating, I guess, like that art of repetition again that I spoke about in the gaming side of things. And when I look at the clients I'm working with as well, just shy of those 40 members in the group chat. We're talking 25 to 30 industries, all people that are scaling our business, doing like fully immersed in their business, that I'm able to almost like watch from up above and help them move forward. That repetition itself, bro, is going to compound into a huge high leverage opportunity in the future. Even if it's not a full on high leverage opportunity right now, in the future, I'm creating a lever that could equate to, 8, 9, 10 figures. From just purely working with all these different industries, all these different young entrepreneurs, seeing their challenges, tying a network in myself to helping them moving forward and watching them all grow, man. And I think the relationships that are also being created are relationships that are going to equate to joint ventures, businesses being started together, investing together, that once again is going to create a huge lever of opportunity. So in terms of my week to week, bro, Monday to Friday calls, 3 hours of focus groups, working on the business as much as humanly possible. Usually in the mornings, man, that's where I'm at highest output. It's where I'm able to do the most and think at the clearest. Usually afternoons, 11 to like, I don't know, it's still morning, but 11 to like 3, 4 is usually calls. And then I'll go and have some dinner, and then I'll usually sit back down and either work on some more stuff, or I'll hop on, I'll play some games on, and I'll chill out. Saturdays and Sundays, Saturdays primarily leisure of some sort, you know, going out, grabbing some food, spending time with my gran, doing all sorts of little things. Sunday mornings especially, man, from 8 until about 12:30 is all my content planning, all my week planning, setting intentions, like you said, establishing a priority list. And I just refer to that priority list throughout the week, man. And just tick everything I possibly can off and just smash out the apartment.
Even if somebody was listening and they were in a position where they are not yet or have no intentions of starting a business, would you say that somebody could still get a tremendous amount of value just by sitting down on a Sunday and doing a task similar where they reflect through the week that's just gone and set some powerful intentions for the week ahead?
100%, man. Because you're just like, life's just gonna cash you by, man. Like you're gonna blink and you're gonna be fucking 50, 60, 70, man. And you're not even gonna know what the fuck's happened. If I really reflect on it, bro, like prior to like maybe in the gaming side of things, I'd get up at like 9, 10, bro. Sit around, fuck around, watch some YouTube videos. Then I grab some lunch. Then I go to the gym and I go and play some football and I'd come back and I'd just sit and play games. And it's like, there's like a 3 to 4 like year window, man, where I can't even account for like what I actually done in that time window. And I think now I can see a clear path, man. Like we use Notion for majority of our stuff. It operates almost like a second brain. And I use my Apple Notes and it's like I can literally pick up my phone and go to, gratitude that I shared on, October 2021. Where I've jotted down 10 positives from the previous day and answered 6 questions that I ask myself every single day, and being able to look at that, man, and actually take like to actually absorb it and like actually take it in. That's what those little things allow you to do, man. And it also allows you to take inventory of where you're at. Like, is the shit that you're doing each week actually helping you move forward? Are you actually progressing? Because if you're not sitting down and take that time, then you're not gonna be taking inventory of anything, bro. You're just going through the motions and. Yeah, that's when it starts to result in questions that are like, why is this happening to me? Why do I feel this way? Is there something wrong with me? Like those questions usually come when you're not spending enough time really reflecting on where you're at and where you want to go.
And I wholeheartedly agree. I think it positions you in quite a powerless place at that point. We become a passenger to life. We start to take a passive role in our own life, which just saying that out loud sounds absurd. And that's always been my biggest fear, is that I've let life take me for a ride and I have relinquished all sense of control and I'm laying there on my deathbed, staring blankly up at the ceiling, wondering what if I spent a little bit of time each week just reflecting on what I could have done better? What if I was able to see that opportunity that was staring me right in the face? And I think for anyone that's listening as well, is recognizing that you don't have to do exactly what John does or what I do on a week-to-week basis. It's figuring out what makes you tick. What personal habits, routines, and rituals that you can start to implement into your life that are appropriate for where you're at right now are going to be conducive for the man that you ultimately want to become and are tackling the biggest challenges that you currently have in front of you. So I know I've certainly been a culprit of this, is I'll read some sexy new self-help book and I'll be like, that's it. I've got to implement this thing because Tony Robbins does it, so I've got to do it. But the reality is, if I try it out for a 6-week period of time, that's often what I do. I do 6-week chunks of a new habit or behavior to really be able to feel if this is the right thing for me. I sit out for 6 weeks. And if at that point I don't align with it, or there isn't a reason that I am inconsistent with it, so I've overcome the fact that it's a new habit, it's a new behavior, I've made my environment, I've equipped myself within my environment to be able to do the behavior. At that point, I ask myself the question as to why am I inconsistent with this? And usually it leads to the fact that I am not aligned with this habit and behavior. And I think it's important that you find what works for you and double down on it.
100%, man. I couldn't agree more. I think my routine has been ever changing, and probably the place that I've got it to just now, there's a great level of consistency and results that are coming from it that I'd be stupid to change. But that's not saying it won't change in the future. It probably will. And just like anything, like you think there'll be a level of certainty slash structure that, like, this is working so well just now, man. Like that nothing can ever go wrong. You know how when it's at the top, it's like this will never fall. This will never shit the bed. And then when things are really bad, it's like this can never get any better. Like this is never going to get better. We're never going to be able to progress. And yeah, there's a level of like delusion that comes into like both of those different aspects. Whereas if you can have or find like a kind of happy medium where it's like, yeah, man, I practice gratitude every morning and night. I might not do that in 6 months' time. I do a priority list every Sunday and write out all my content and shoot my content. There might come a time where I don't want to dedicate a Sunday to that. And being at peace with the fact that these things are ever changing, I think, is what brings a lot of joy like to your life and not feeling like everything's so fucking regimented, man. I do a high performance day every Monday just now where I'm up at 4, out a morning run, come back, do my stretches, cold shower, and I work on my business for 2 hours before, 7 a.m. Like that is something that's not going to be in my life forever. I'm just about to come into like my 10th week in a row of doing it. That's not going to be a thing in the future. But I'm at peace with that, man. And I'm loving the challenge of it, and I'm loving the increase in discipline. Like just toy with shit, man. Implement it. See how it feels. And if it feels uncomfortable, by the way, that's not a sign to like stop doing it.
Absolutely, seek out that discomfort.
100%, man. If it feels uncomfortable, it's probably more of a reason for you to do it. But yeah, if you genuinely continue to do it, get past the uncomfortable aspect of it, and it still like feels like shit, it doesn't even feel like it's benefiting you, then like, yeah, it's probably a time to change it or switch it up.
Absolutely. I've got one final question that I want to ask you before we start wrapping this up. What's the best piece of advice that you've ever been given?
Oof, best piece of advice. Best piece of advice. There's a few people that do always come to my mind when it comes to like I guess like the advice. I'll give a few nuggets because I think if I was to put it down to one, it'd be like putting on a mad pedestal for sure. There was a video I watched when I started to I guess like change my life around when I was 19, 20. Would have been running with that kind of time window. And Gary Vee was in that video, and there was one thing that he said. And you say I watched this video so many times. And it was just something very simple. It was just complaining holds no value. And I wasn't a serial complainer, but I would, have a bitch and a moan. And everyone around me would also have a bitch and a moan. So it didn't really feel that bad. And I think that was the first proper piece of advice that sticks in my mind where I was like, that's something that needs to change, especially if I want to be around these kind of higher performing, higher octane individuals, because they don't complain. I think that was one piece of advice I think that kind of shifted. I can't trace it back to one piece of advice from my mum, but I think probably the role that my mum has played with in my life, she has loved and supported me unconditionally. And I think that her way of like parenting was very much in the form of like a lot of those lessons within unreasonable hospitality around praising in public, criticizing private, praising with emotion, criticizing without emotion. Like my mum embodied all of those things. And I think to be honest, the relationship I probably built with her gave me a real good understanding of the kind of relationships I wanted to build with other people and what those relationships were actually going to be built on. What were the solid foundations of those relationships? And I'll also give another piece of advice. It's not the best piece of advice, but it's an amazing story, mate. I've told it before. I had my first ever mentor on the gaming side of things. His name was Posty. He was a viewer of my stream, but he was also like a serial gifter. I think I told you about him the first time we spoke. But for the listeners' purpose, there was a 3 month window where Posty gifted me about 5 grand worth of subscribers, which is, I get half of that as a streamer. So, like, the fact that this guy was doing this was just bonkers. I couldn't believe it. And I eventually had a call with the guy, and it went from 1 a.m. until 6:30 a.m. because he was based in Florida and it was the only time I could get with him. And there were so many pieces of advice, I think, during that 5.5 hour window. But there was one thing that he spoke to me about, which was goal setting. And I was struggling to set financial goals. I was struggling to set goals that I wanted to hit. And the advice he gave me was around like a hunting analogy. And he basically spoke about like if he went hunting with his dad, he used to hunt down a deer for whatever reason. And he was to aim solely to hit the deer. and that was the only goal, and he missed the deer, he would obviously not hit the deer completely. Whereas if he aimed for a specific hair on that deer and he missed the hair, he would still hit the deer. And the lesson that he shared with me on that was about setting goals that are pretty damn specific, but almost around the kind of shoot for the moon and you land on the stars. If you're going to set goals that are in the form of like a scarcity goal, so a scarcity goal for me is something like, if you just make 2.5 grand, you'll be able to leave your job and you'll be able to just go full time in your business. That's like a scarcity goal. That's like a minimum. I need that to live. Whereas if you set a goal of, say, earning 7.5 grand and you hit 5, it's double your scarcity goal. But you've not hit your 7.5, but you're fucking much further than what you currently are. And I think it's not the absolute maddest lesson I've ever learned, but I apply that to all my goal setting and it's served me incredibly well. And when I feel like I'm ever positioning myself either too short or I see my clients positioning themselves too short, I challenge them on it, man. Like every time, because having, I guess, like bigger goals that are absolutely achievable. There's a difference between setting something that's just unachievable in a really short time window and setting something that is achievable and just having it push your comfort zone in its best way possible.
Completely agree. I'm a big believer in, like you say, aiming for the moon and ultimately landing in the stars. But a very quick one. When was the last time that you sat down with your mum and told her everything you just told me there?
Done a podcast with Bex, my partner. Spoke about it quite a lot on there. And she watched it. She had a wee cry. She was like, she couldn't believe some of the stuff that we'd spoken about on there. But to honestly ask you a question, I don't think I've ever really sat down with her and fully just told her, bro. So that'll be my homework, mate, after this pod. She's actually down in Leeds just now with her partner, Craig, having an amazing time. Well, I hope she's having an amazing time. But yeah, when she's back, bro, we'll sit down and have that conversation for sure.
Nice. That's one thing I challenge you and the listeners to do is, if there's someone in your life who you truly value and that is the right person in your community, is to sit down and fucking tell them that. It's to tell them that you appreciate them. Praise them in public with emotion and keep nurturing and investing in that relationship.
100%, mate. I couldn't
John,
agree
this has been an incredible conversation. I've thoroughly enjoyed it and I'm sure that the audience have got tons of value that they're able to extract from it. Before we wrap up, talk me through what you're working on right now and where people can find you.
Absolutely, man. So you can find me on Instagram, John Hamilton with 2 N's on the end. I'm really active on LinkedIn as well. Send me a connection request. We'll accept any kind of connection request that comes through. I also do a podcast, which is the Young Entrepreneurs Network podcast, which is just an arm of Young and Lazy. And as far as what I'm currently working on just now, it'll be full focus on Young and Lazy and anything in and around that, as well as myself. We've got pretty big plans for where we want to take the network. Got pretty big plans where we want to take the podcast and where I want to take my personal brand. We're also working on some high ticket offers as well, man, that we've never actually really sat and worked on fully. And it's putting those years of experience within the gaming side of things and those years of experience within business now into something that is going to deliver a shit ton of value that isn't just in the network, but out with that realm as well, man. So yeah, thank you for having me, Jack, mate. Honestly, it's been immense, mate.
Mate, thank you. Been awesome. Guys, I appreciate you for listening and I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did and you found it valuable. To make sure you don't miss an episode like this in the future, hit that subscribe button. But until then, take ownership, take action, and keep hustling.